It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
It's estimated that eating disorders affect over 11 million people in the United States. And you want to know if your relationship with food is a problem or someone that you love. And my guest is Assistant Professor of Psychology at Harvard Medical School, Dr. Jennifer Thomas. And she's joined today by co-author and survivor Jenny Schaefer to share information about being almost anorexic and kind of the plight of this disease. Welcome to the show, ladies. Dr. Thomas, please start by giving us a little insight to things that people should look for when they notice that somebody is developing a little bit of a problem in their relationship with food.
Sure. You know, when people think of anorexia nervosa, they usually think of really extreme cases, people that weigh 70 pounds. But some of the signs that you could watch out for that somebody might be almost anorexic would be things like, you know, does your weight frequently shift because of repeated attempts to be dieting? Are you regularly restricting your food intake by amount or variety? Do you eat large amounts of food, maybe while feeling out of control because you let yourself get so hungry? Do you try to make up for calories that you've consumed by doing things like vomiting or laxatives? And then lastly, does your negative body image interfere with your living your life to the fullest? Are you afraid to take your kids to the beach because you don't want to be seen in a bathing suit? Those are the type of signs to look out for.
When we're looking out for those signs, I mean, Dr. Thomas, as women especially, and I know this does affect men, but mm-hmm. as women, the negative self-talk, we look in the mirror, and even if, you know, we're not almost anorexic or don't have a problem with our relationship with food, we look and say, God, I look fat today, or my goodness, this bloating is making my pants so tight. How do you tell the difference between your thought processes that could be a little bit, you know, out of order or the normal thought process that we all go through?
Sure. You know, a lot of women and increasingly men do go through those feelings of feeling fat, not good enough. And so really, you know, if you're hearing a little bit of that chatter, that's pretty normal. And when we talk about almost anorexic, though, we're talking about really, you know, not just dieting to fit into a prom dress, not just running a 5K charity race with your friend, but really the extent to which your life has become unmanageable because of your relationship with food or shape or weight. Are there things that you aren't letting yourself do in your life because you're dissatisfied with your weight? Or are you, you know, declining invitations to go out to dinner with friends because you're so afraid to eat in front of them? Those are the types of things to look out for.
Okay, so Jenny, you wrote a book with Dr. Thomas, Almost Anorexic. So speak about your story for us just a bit, would you? Tell us, what did you go through?
Sure. Well, this might surprise you and some people listening, but at the young age of 4 years old, I actually remember hearing a negative voice in my head that said, you're not good enough, you're too fat. Now, it wasn't until I was 22 years old that I would learn that that voice was the voice of my eating disorder creeping into my life. And the problem that I had with my struggle was really, in most of the time I was struggling in middle school and high school, and even some in college, I actually looked normal. So I was not underweight, I was not overweight, I looked normal. So nobody came up to me and approached me about getting help. But what was really sad now looking back is that when I finally lost a lot of weight and could be diagnosed with anorexia at age 22, that's when people in my life started saying, wow, you look really sick. Let's get help for you. So Jenny and I really wrote this book because we want those people who struggle in that gray area between normal eating and an eating disorder, we want them to get help. It doesn't matter what you look like.
Well, that's quite a story at 4 years old. And in this age of childhood obesity, Dr. Thomas, you know, parents were told that it's all about health and that we only speak to our children about the health aspects, being strong, eating healthy, you know, that sort of thing. And girls mm-hmm. today are all worried about the obesity epidemic. They look at the fat kid in school and say, I don't want to be like that. So give us some strategies if we're noticing unhealthy eating patterns, whether it's in ourselves, our loved ones, or our children. What do we do? How do you intervene right from the beginning to keep it along a healthy path before it gets, you know, to the point where they need serious help?
Sure. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that the obesity problem and the eating disorder problem are actually linked. You know, you don't have to be underweight to have an eating disorder. So that is, plenty of people who struggle with being overweight or obese actually also struggle in that gray area of almost anorexia, because maybe they're binge eating and feeling incredibly guilty and feeling really bad about their body image. So there are a few things that you can do. The first thing is, don't let the number on the scale prevent you from reaching out for help. You know, help is available, whether it's in the form of cognitive behavioral therapy. Some people need to be in the hospital even. So just reaching out for help is number one. Another thing, you know, if you're thinking about your children, is actually, we know that family meals, so eating together as a family, whether it be, you know, dinner or lunch on the weekends, is actually preventative against not only obesity, but also against eating disorders. So kind of fighting the battle on both fronts, just eating with your kids, sitting down with them, can be really helpful. And then lastly, I would say, with regard to body image, you know, with my patients, I often will write prescriptions for retail therapy. You know, I'll tell them, you know, go out and buy an outfit that fits you now, not, you know, the body that you want to have 10 pounds from now, but something that you feel good and flattering in right now at the moment, and that can give you a big boost in terms of your body image just right away.
Well, you know, and I'm an exercise physiologist, and I deal with nutrition issues every single day, and so that's great advice. You know, don't when you gain a little weight, don't then go up in size in your clothes. Try and stick to the ones that you've got, but yet don't sit there and tell yourself, well, I'll wear that again when I lose the weight, or because it can become this vicious cycle, and it really is tough to manage. Now, Jenny, tell us what you did. So finally, you were pretty thin, and people said you need help. What happened to you?
Well, I was in such denial at that time that I actually didn't really know what to do. I went to the doctor because my friends were worried about me, and surprisingly, a doctor actually said, well, you don't really look like you have an eating disorder. And Jenny will tell you, about half of eating disorders are undetected in primary care settings. So that's another great reason we're excited about this interview and getting the word out. But ultimately, I hit rock bottom, and I asked for help on my own. So I finally found a treatment team of professionals that were experts in eating disorders. So that was a therapist, a dietitian, a psychiatrist, and an internist. And my life of recovery began. And it was a long journey, but I did get fully better.
But see, that's amazing that your primary caregiver said, oh, you don't look like you have an eating disorder. But then you didn't take that at face value. You said, you know what? I think I might. And then you went and collected your own team. And I certainly applaud your own patient advocacy for yourself, because not everybody with your disorder would have done that. They would have been like, see, I told you I didn't have anything wrong.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I actually had two different doctors at different points in my life tell me that. So it's really, really difficult out there right now for people struggling sometimes to get help. It's really just to find that person that's right for you. There's a lot of excellent experts out there, but you really need to find the person right for you. The National Eating Disorders Association actually has a helpline available on their website for anybody listening who might need help, a referral list.
Okay.
And people can also take an online screening at almostanorexic.com. That's free and confidential, just to see if they or a loved one might be struggling.
Okay, so almostanorexic.com, that's the name of the website. And they can go there. Can they also find out if this is something that, you know, they might need help with on there? I mean, signs, symptoms, take a little quiz, that sort of thing?
Definitely, yeah. There's a quiz that's only just 26 questions, and it gives you immediate, confidential, you know, anonymous feedback about where you fall on the spectrum and whether you might need a professional evaluation.
Okay, so why don't you wrap it up, Dr. Thomas, with some of your best advice for us in about the last, I don't know, say 30 seconds, 45 seconds, in almost anorexic, and what we can do to help our loved ones when something starts to get more serious than it might otherwise be.
Sure. So my number one advice would be don't keep it a secret. You know, reach out to your loved one, share your concern with them, encourage them to take a screening and take them to their doctor.
Okay. So noticing these things, seeing what's going on, you know, kind of watching, eating with our children, taking the quiz at almostanorexic.com, trying to keep the word health as a part of your family life more than talking about thinness, and looking at the pictures in the magazines, and recognizing the fact that the obesity epidemic that we have going on in this country is kind of interlinked with eating disorders. You can be on either end of the spectrum and still have a disorder. So, you know, get some help, help your loved ones, because that's what it's all about. You're listening to Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. Stay well.